consider myself to be something of a functional alcoholic.
Yes.
I was a little concerned about starting at 11. I was like, I think this might be a little early even for me. And these people, they got there at 9.
And they left at 3 p.m. ish.
We left at 3 p.m. and I was just...
Yeah, they left right before we did. Yeah.
I was hammered.
I'm going to drink this and I'm going to get dirty.
What do you need light for? This is radio.
How many beers have you had today?
Not any of your business.
Back in my days of trying to get drunk in the janitorial closet.
I was Bear Grylls when I was 8.
I'm a little drunk.
Alright.
Oh shit, are we recording?
Duh. We're always recording.
Fuck, yeah, I guess we are. We just keep these things rolling all the time.
Alright, so we're back with another episode of Geek Beer.
Geek Beer!
It's what you want. Anyway, I think this is episode number 9.
Something.
But I was a little drunk yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday was a thing.
We wanted to podcast yesterday, but...
There will be pictures that you can see. Maybe understand why we didn't podcast.
It was the Barley Wine Festival at the at Brower's. And yeah. The
Hard Liver, they call it.
Hard Liver Barley Wine Festival. And yeah. We showed up at 11 a.m.
when the doors opened, and there was already a line going all the way down the block.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And Brower's is not maybe as big as it should be for such events.
I want to say there's a maximum capacity of like 130 people in there.
Something like that. And... it was full in the first 10 minutes.
Oh, less than that.
And then a line started forming outside.
Yeah, but people weren't leaving.
Yeah. Why would you leave? You got there at 11 a.m.
Yeah, you got there for a purpose.
So we managed to snag a windowsill.
Camped out on the windowsill.
But the music was up really loud, and it was packed, so our plans, our best-laid plans to podcast about the Barley Wine Festival from the Barley Wine Festival.
Not really possible.
So it's the following day.
Yeah. Ooh, I would just like to say real quick, a shout-out once again to Avery, who keep on coming up with my new favorite beer every time I try something that they make.
It's quite impressive. What were the two we had yesterday?
We had one that was just sort of so-so.
The Hogshead?
The Hogshead. Avery Hogshead, I think it was, or something like that.
Hog Heaven.
Hog Heaven? Yeah, that sounds right. And then there was a second one, which had a really weird name, like the Curioso or the Curioso?
Semael.
Semael. I was totally off.
Semael.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the Curio, what we're drinking today.
Not close at all. yeah. And so that other one was amazing. It was like coconut and banana and like all sorts of weird flavors.
It was definitely the first beer I've ever had where coconut was pronounced.
Yeah, it was flavor. But it was really good. Again, I think that where they really excel are some of the more complex beers. I've had some of their other beers that are, you know, sort of standard versions of like, you know, an ale or an amber. And
sure.
They're all right. There's nothing wrong with them. But when they bust out all the stops... They make some crazy good beer.
I think next year we'll have to change our strategy to more like those other guys who just basically ordered every barley wine on the menu all at once.
We've got some great pictures of people who literally have like a table. It's like a 4x4, three by three table maybe. And the entire surface is covered with these little like three ounce snifters.
Oh, man.
Oh, these people were nuts. And they were just sitting there. It was an all day thing for them. They're going to be there all day just working their way through that. They were going to be blitzed by the time it was over.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Are you kidding? And this one, and one of the guys had a little like moleskin that he had for beer.
Yes.
And I asked him questions, and he and his friend had come last year, and he had notes from last year's barley wines, and he was tasting them again this year.
I think that's one thing we found out, though, at the Barley Wine Festival is that almost every beer that we had, but we could compare it to a younger version.
Yeah.
I think I enjoyed the younger beer better.
Yeah, what were the... There were two big ones. The Stone 09 versus the Stone...
07.
Old Guardian 07.
Yeah.
And we both preferred the 09.
Yeah. The second Avery beer, whose name I've already completely had wiped out of my
mind. Samael.
The Samael. That was like an 06. And I thought that was really good, but I'd be curious to try it fresh and see if I liked it better.
But then there was another one, the Alaskan, actually one of the winners.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Of the tasting.
I think you were actually kind of disappointed with it. It was like the 07 or 06.
I was disappointed with the 07. No, with the 06. The 07 was very good, and that was the winner.
Yeah.
And the 06, I don't know, it just didn't age as well as I would have wanted it to.
Yeah.
The flavor didn't really deepen at all, and you lost all the, you know, hop everything. So,
yeah,
you know, it was just harder to appreciate, I guess.
All around, I think most everything we had there was really good.
Yeah, so it was pretty awesome.
Barley wine,
for sure. Anyway, so today we've got two Allagash beers. Allagash is an American brewery in Portland, Maine, and they sort of tend toward Belgian-ish styles. And they released their new Curio, which is aged in oak bourbon barrels. And in this case, they bottled 980 casks. Anyway,
So, yeah, we've got our two giant bottles of Allagash.
They're both.
Ethan actually is a little scared. He tried to talk me out of doing this, and I'm like, no.
I will admit to being a little scared.
We've committed ourselves to a course of action. Our listeners expect nothing but the best from us, and we provide that when we drink a lot of beer.
That's fair enough. These things are both 750 mils.
Oh, yeah.
And they are the Allagash Triple. Is batch 127, 9.0% alcohol.
Booyah.
And the Allagash Curio, which I read was actually the triple aged in oak bourbon barrels. That's 11% ABV.
Yeah.
We're each drinking basically a wine bottle of beer, and it's not 5%.
It's going to be one of those nights.
It might be. Yeah, I'm not sure how my wife is going to feel about this, but we'll see. Anyway, we're going to start with the triple because, like I said, I read that the Curio is the triple aged in oak bourbon barrels. I can't confirm this because I lack the internet.
But it is something you read on the internet, which is consistently a viable source of reliable information.
All right.
All right.
So these things are both packaged like fucking champagne bottles.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts.
With corks and shit, so I'm going to unscrew the wires on this. And hope that I don't, like, blast a hole in my brand new roof.
This is going to be fun.
We'll see here. We are podcasting from the new house for the first time ever.
Very exciting.
That was a thing. It's not bubbling up like champagne.
No, it is. It's spewing off a nice head of carbon dioxide.
Yeah, it is. Whoa. All right, shall we pour it?
Let's do it.
And I did read that you're supposed to pour beer pretty vigorously, especially for tastings. So I'm trying to... I'm pouring down the side of the glass here, but... I'm not pouring straight down into the bottom, but pouring down to the side. It's pretty heavily carbonated.
Yeah. I'm actually kind of surprised at the clarity on this beer, especially for it being bottle conditioned. It seems actually pretty clear.
There is a hefty, hefty sheath of of yeast at the bottom of this bottle.
Yeah.
We definitely won't pour all the way down there, but...
Whatever. That's the best part. I think I'm going to let this settle for just a minute here, because it does have some... Excellent head retention, Ethan.
Yes, it does.
Whoa.
It smells good. It
smells like a triple. All yeasty and...
Yeah, a little fruity. A little bit of spicy head to it. I'm classy to the end, baby.
All right, shall we try it?
If we can work our way through the foam. I'm going to get a nose and a beard full of foam on this one.
It is. I mean, it smells pretty much like a standard triple. Yeah. You know,
it smells good.
Alcohol, fruit. Yeah. Yep.
I'm going in.
All right. Wow, that was a pretty hefty triple. The mouthfeel really... The color belies the pretty hefty mouthfeel.
It's good. I
like this. It's got a spiciness to it that I don't think I've had in a triple before, which might be partly alcohol. But yeah, the carbonation is pretty heavy for a bottle-conditioned beer.
Yeah. This also reminds me a lot of the Saison DuPont. They have like a farmhouse like table beer. But it does. It reminds me a lot of that. It's got some of the similar characteristics. This is a lot darker. All the same characteristics are there, but this is a lot more intense.
Okay, fair enough.
I would say.
I think the spiciness that I'm getting is a little bit of clovey.
You think so?
Well, I could go grab the cloves from the spice drawer and, you know.
I'm not debating you here. I'm just...
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You're just fucking wrong. That's all. No, I think you're right. I think it just has sort of a clove flavor to it.
Well, yeah, I like it, though.
That's good.
I feel kind of bad that I'm drinking in such a big glass. I feel like I should be drinking it out of a snifter, but of course then we never would have been able to pour it. So.
Screw that noise. We're powering through.
We're going to work our way through this for sure.
I don't think that's going to be a problem. This is going down a lot faster, actually, than it probably should be.
I was actually going to say, it's much easier to drink than I would have anticipated for a 9% craft beer.
You're going to be a little buzzed.
Yeah, so, I mean,
it's got the... head finally died down, but it's still keeping a good, like, fingerful of foam on the top.
It's not clinging to the side, clinging to the side of the glasses somewhat, but not like some of the heftier head beers that we've had. It's got that, you know, typical, you know, yeasty maltiness that a triple has. It's got the, you know, standard sort of bitterness and cloviness of a Belgian ales, and
the spicy character of it sort of hangs around like as an aftertaste for a little while, in a good way.
Yeah, there's no dead cat here at all.
No,
there's definitely an aftertaste, but it's a quality aftertaste.
That's right, no dead cat here to be found.
And it's very different than the initial tongue flavor. The aftertaste is. That sounded like an alien coming out of an egg.
The tasticles are strong with this beer.
It is. It's really good. It masks the alcohol content well, but it's not overpowering, and it's not, like so many of the high-gravity beers we've had recently, it's not sweet.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely true.
That's pretty characteristic of barley wines and, like, the higher gravity IPAs. Like, but, yeah, this manages the higher gravity without any sort of extra sweetness. Yeah. It's good stuff.
It's really well balanced.
Anyway, all right, so we're done with the triple.
Yep, and we're a little buzzed.
Yeah, we're a little buzzed.
Shit.
Sweet. All right, so we got the Curio. Which I'm not sure I'm pronouncing this correctly. It's C-U-R-I-E-U-X.
Curio.
All right, shall we open it?
Sure. Ooh. It's got the same sort of openability.
Good. Yeah.
That really just didn't come out right at all. Whatever. It's off-gassing the same way that the other beer was. The color looks pretty comparable. It's supposed to be aged in bourbon casks?
Bourbon.
Is that right? Bourbon?
I'm going to kill you.
Yeah. This might be a little darker now that I look at it again. And maybe that's just me wanting to think it is because it was aged in a bourbon barrel, but it seems like it might be a little darker.
Yeah, I don't know.
The head is not nearly as
intense. No. But look at that. It's sticking to the sides even more. You see that?
Yeah. Oh, take a sniff of that.
Oh, wow.
It's got sort of that bourbon-y nose to it.
Yeah, sort of sweet and smoky.
Yeah, if you were to just put this under my nose and tell me to sniff at it, I would probably tell you this is a glass of Jack.
Yeah, or like a watered-down glass of Jack.
Yeah,
it's not quite the same.
A Jack with a splash of water. Yeah. But yeah.
I also wouldn't call this color. Like, if you said, smell this, this is a beer, tell me what color it is. There's no way I would tell you it's this gold.
Yeah. I think if you were to tell me to smell this and tell me it was a beer, I'd probably, first of all, not believe you. Because it doesn't smell like any beer I've had before. Well,
I don't know.
I've had some bourbon-aged beers, and I think most of those, though, had a much sharper bourbon smell to them.
The BrewDog Port Dundas, for
instance. I know Budweiser, I think it is, or maybe Coors, they make a seasonal beer. It's a vanilla bourbon aged in bourbon casks and with a vanilla flavor added.
Yep. All right, well, should we try it?
Let's dig in.
All right. Oh, wow.
It's a lot different.
Wow. That has, wow, that hits the palate with a lot of vanilla.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm getting the vanilla at all.
Turn on your vanilla door.
All right, it's on. Sorry. It's not at an easily accessible place.
I understand. It's not like the vanilla door. Really? Do you want me to go get the bottle of
vanilla? I know what vanilla smells like. I'm not friggin' like slow or anything, okay? I'm not like, this isn't the Special Olympics of beer.
Well, I feel like we don't both taste vanilla, then I'm going crazy or you're going crazy, and I'm really tempted to believe that I'm going crazy.
It's possible. I mean, there's a lot going on here. I do not like this as much as the other one. The alcohol hits a lot harder. The extra 3% lot more intense than I'd expect it to be.
Yeah, I agree. It doesn't hide the high ABV as well. It's actually only 2%, 9% versus 11.
But yeah, this hits a lot harder. I think the alcohol is kind of grating almost. And some of that might be just sort of the other characteristics that it's picking up from the bourbon that maybe I associate with a hard alcohol.
That's a good
point. It might not actually be the alcohol itself, but it may be some of the things it's picking up from the bourbon.
So much about taste is suggestion.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see how this is the same beer, like the triple.
Yeah.
But it's changed it in a lot of ways.
Some of them good, I think more of them bad.
There's definitely a bourbon-y taste to this, that in terms of that caramely sugar flavor that
you get. I don't think it meshes well with this particular style. I've had bourbon beers before that I think it meshed better with. In general, I don't sort of like that way of making beer.
I think in general it results in things like this, which is sort of like a mesh of flavors that don't go well together.
Yeah, I just don't think they blend well. And this particularly, I mean, the first version of this we had I thought was great. This,
really something.
It's just okay. I mean,
it just feels like it's sort of, there are competing flavors here, right?
Yeah.
There's like the yeasty maltiness associated with a triple, but then there's the higher alcohol content, which as we said, it doesn't hide well.
Yeah.
The heavier mouthfeel is completely gone.
That woody flavor you obviously get from a whiskey or bourbon is there.
And it doesn't go well.
Yeah.
It just doesn't fit.
There are some people who think this is like the greatest end-all, be-all like way to go with beer. I know I've read some reviews about people who drink these types of beers and they're just like get all excited. They're like, oh, it's aged in a bourbon barrel. I've had a couple of them. And like I said, I've had a couple that I thought were okay. I've never had one where it was just like, oh, man, they've made a better beer for this. It's like they've made an interesting beer, maybe. And this is an interesting beer. I'll give it that. Yep. But it's just interesting on the sole basis of being different.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's enough. I think, again, adding in the sort of the wood, whiskey, bourbon flavor has accentuated too much the alcohol.
Yeah.
And in general, I don't think this is well balanced, and I don't think I'd drink this again.
No, I don't think so. That's actually pretty fascinating. I mean, yeah. Like I said, if it was good, I probably would have gone back and got another bottle.
The first Allagash I thought was fantastic.
I'm going to go another bottle of that for sure.
I would drink that again. And like I said, I don't particularly care for the style in general. But this, like I said, it's just kind of cool.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I don't know. Do we have much else to say about this beer than the fact that we don't particularly care for it?
No. Should we go into beer news?
It's time for Geek Beer News.
You ready? Number one.
Rocket.
The number of breweries on Twitter has tripled in the 2 months since the original number of around 40 was posted at beernews.org.
Booyah.
That means, like, people apparently read beer news. And,
maybe.
Like,
I've heard that also the number of breweries right now is actually growing in the United States despite the recession. So yeah. I don't know if people are like, man, I lost my job. Let's make a brewery! Or if, like, it's actually a solid decision. I'd be curious to see in the next 6 months how many of those are still around. I'm willing to bet most of them are gone. But
I wonder how many decisions to start breweries are intelligent decisions to begin with. I mean, come on, let's be honest. You and I have talked about this.
And it's never always
a good plan.
Fuck no. It's always like, all we need is, like, $1.7 million, and we can start this brewery, man.
So number two on the list.
Yeah.
I'd like to remind everyone again that Beer Wars is coming out on April 16th, and
I've looked into it a little more.
Yeah. Oh, I was about to say.
It's a documentary.
It is? Look at that. You see this? More detail compared to last week. It's a documentary.
Yeah, aren't you proud of yourself? I looked into it. It's a documentary. I've also heard in a lot of places it's a limited engagement. Some places it's just one day.
Yeah.
And in fact, that might be true across the board.
I think it might be true across the board unless it does well, right? Just like King of Kong was only playing for like 3 days.
All right, anyway, moving forward. Number three.
Number three. There are now 140 different styles of beer in the Brewers Association 2009 Beer Style Guidelines.
Beat it, bam! What'd they add? Do you know?
I don't remember what they added, no. These guidelines are used as a basis for the style descriptions for the two largest beer competitions, the Great American Beer Festival and the World Beer Cup.
Alright.
And people seem to be alternatively angry or elated about this choice.
Whatever, I don't really care.
I guess, if you don't care, you don't bother to comment, but like, I'm like, whatever. And I posted a comment on somebody's blog, and I was like, what's the worst thing that can happen here? Like, we have more styles of beer. Who cares? And
he's like, the world will fucking end in fire and brimstone and hell. And
I think the antithesis argument is that, admittedly, I really don't understand it very well, but the antithesis argument is that if you have too many beer styles, then beer styles start to degrade as a way to describe beer to other people. So you can no longer say, like, this is a smoked porter.
I was actually reading like a really interesting article the other day about someone who essentially broke down, and they're like, well, what's the difference between a porter and a stout? And they got down to it, and they were like, well, really, there isn't one? I mean, you can sort of say alcohol content, but that's really all the more you can really define between the two.
Yeah, and even alcohol content varies from brewer to brewer.
So it's like, I'm going to drink good beer no matter what the hell you call it.
I have to agree. Like, I mean, maybe
I think it's appropriate. But right now, I mean, there's sort of an explosion going on, and I'm sure eventually some of these things will be consolidated.
And people are excited, right? What are you going to do?
Yeah.
You're going to say, oh, no, you can't do this.
You can't get excited about beer.
It's whatever.
Like, fuck you. Why are you shitting on my parade?
All right. So number four, Widmer Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
Has been in business 25 years as of April 2nd, one of the oldest non-macro breweries in existence. All right, number five. The guys release the Dark Lord Russian Imperial Stout, regarded as one of the world's best beers, along with Kate the Great and, you know, a couple other beers like that. Released 2,000 tickets that guarantee some allotment of the special brew.
I've got a golden ticket.
That they actually called them golden tickets.
Sweet.
Yeah. They sold out in less than a day. Each ticket was $10, and proceeds go to local charity.
So is this a local thing? Like, do you have to go there, or is they shipping it out, or how does this work?
You have to go there, Well, you have to be there. Just like all the other best beers in the world, you actually have to be there to get some. And it's brewed by Three Floyds Brewing, just like we were talking about. Fucking Munster, Indiana, bitches. Midwest Brewery. All right. Are we going to be done here? We're going to finish this up with some lasagna.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wait. We got listener feedback?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Listener feedback. Well, this isn't really listener feedback. It was just, like, something we've talked about in the past, and it turns out to be incorrect.
Oh.
Guinness, not actually nitrogen carbonated.
Well, you can't carbonate with nitrogen, dog.
Well, it's not actually, there's no nitrogen in the liquid because nitrogen doesn't really, like, dissolve in liquid very well. So what it actually is, it's called, it's commonly known as brewer's gas. It's a mixture of CO2 and N2, which causes smaller bubbles to form because the concentration of N2 in, or concentration of CO2 in the, in the head of beer is actually lower. And there's some speculation this is done to mimic the feeling of draft cask condition beers, which are typically hand-pulled.
Yeah.
Guinness is also much weaker than it was in the past. It had an original gravity of 1.070 in the 19th century, which would have given it a final alcohol content of between 7 and 9%. So,
damn.
Yeah, it's a lot weaker now than it used to be with its final alcohol content of like 5.5 or 6.
I want to try the OG Guinness.
No shit. All right, are we done for the day?
Really? I guess we're done.
Eat some dinner.
Yeah, we're going to eat some lasagna.
What up, guys?